Wednesday, April 29th, the day began with saying goodbye to Lucy as she goes down to be Queen Shenandoah the 37th of the Apple Blossom Festival at Winchester. She's going to be the house guest of the Harry Bird Juniors. And then at noon, there was a cutting of the ribbon in the lobby of the Department of Labor to mark the opening of an arts and crafts exhibit by handicapped persons. Jane Wirtz had asked me to do this. It's one of the many things the Department of Labor is doing to bring people with special needs, in this case, handicapped people, back into the mainstream of economic life. The ubiquitous Esther Peterson, Assistant Secretary of Labor, was on hand to meet me, as well as both Secretary and Mrs. Wirtz, and several members of the President's Committee on Employment for the Handicapped, including Dorothy Goldberg, who works on the arts and crafts portion of it. Jane introduced me, and then I had a few words to say, which embodied my old hope that one day we will have a National Arts and Crafts Center where tourists of the USA, like they can in nearly every country else in the world, see the best of our own handicrafts on display and for sale. The little talk ended with an accolade to those who had actually produced this show themselves, the handicapped. We owe a debt to those who have conquered a loss and created a new talent. I wish now I had made the people themselves more the center of what I said. Then I was shown cases of exhibits, clothes made by blind people, reproductions of artwork by retarded children, ceramics, some engraved glasswork, as handsome as to Ben. The most memorable thing about the hour was meeting a man who had a factory employing only handicapped people. One-legged, one-arm, one-eyed, no-eyed. He produced airplane parts. I asked him how he got started in this, and this was his answer. Mrs. Johnson, I'm so proud of my wife and my four fine children and my success in this country, and I want to help others. Later, I found that he himself is 36 inches tall, having no legs at all. That I had not noticed because he walked along perfectly all right. And so he had used his brains and his business savvy to help some 400 other people in some such situation as he. What a story and what a country. I returned for an hour or so's work on the mail, and then at 2:30 received the women from Brandeis University in the Blue Room. This small but very select university had told Lyndon they would like to have a collection of books on the subject of his choice in their library. He had requested Latin American relations, and the ladies came down to officially present me with a book plate, which will be used in the several thousand volumes to be accumulated. Books and trees are my favorite memorial, that is, of material things. I guess scholarships would really be the favorite one. As they came down the line, I thought they were a considerably intellectual, certainly wealthy, notably Jewish group of ladies, and I appreciated the fact that they seemed to be, more than most, impressed and grateful at being received in the White House. Nancy Heckinger's grandmother was among them. After visiting with them, I went to the movie theater and saw films taken at the ranch, When the Children Were Young, Lyndon During World War II, all of which I soon recognized with dismay were just the leavings, the scraps, the edited out bits, and that my real treasure trove had not yet reached the hands of Mrs. Southwick, the man who is doing a documentary on Lyndon for the convention or some such purpose, and using my films as part of the background. So I phoned right away to Jesse to retrieve it from the ranch or wherever it was and get it up here to us. There was also an art film by Westinghouse on the collection within the White House itself. To give me an idea of the quality Amy Jensen La Follette is doing, in case I want to cooperate in some further expansion of it. And then I saw a bit of me speaking for the Cancer Crusade in order to evaluate it. I found it rather stiff and about a B minus, but that's past and I can work on the future. Then I returned to my desk to sign and dictate mail, and next did something necessary and painful, immersed myself in a folder of some 50 or so letters, all hostile, about speeding, beer, and dogs. Some of them were silly, cruel, quack, right ready for the wastebasket file. Others were sincere and thoughtful and represented the feelings of a lot of worthy Americans, and if I don't profit from them, it'll be my loss. I called Mrs. Mellon to tell her how beautiful the garden had been and that I hoped she was going to be with us on May 7th. And then Lennon and I did that very self-indulgent thing it is these days. We went out to dinner, a black tie dinner, at the David Brinkley's, smallish, about 30 people, and given for their sister-in-law, Mary Margaret's friend from Texas. It was an articulate, pleasant, easy group, and I had the happy feeling that Lyndon was enjoying them and himself.